Lisa, guess what?
It must be a Halloween show.
It is our Halloween show today and tomorrow. It is 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program 330 in the series. This is Henry Mancini, Experiment in Terror. And you know, this music was used for what television show, do you know?
Creature Features.
Yes,
because
Lisa.
I used to watch Creature Features.
That's right. Great job. Oh, wow. All right. Well, our listeners are in for a real treat. We're going to tune into Inner Sanctum Mystery in just a few minutes. After that, Crime Classics and then The Sealed Book. Tomorrow night, we'll have more classic radio shows for you. I think we're going to play Lights Out tomorrow along with Suspense,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, good, scary radio shows. We're going to start things off with Arch Obler's The Dark. You know the little story about the fog, this fog, this smoke that can turn people inside out?
That's what we're going to hear.
We're going to play that right now. So
turn down the lights first, guys.
Yeah, listen to this. Enjoy it. The Dark.
Hey, where are you turning?
The alarm said Pine Street, didn't it?
Oh, yes, of course. So why the siren? The only traffic out here is on horseback.
Yeah, you can say that again, Doc. It's from nothing to nowhere.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, right with you, Doc. Right with you. Said somebody was hurt?
That's what the switchboard said.
Gee, what a dump. Don't seem to be a bell.
Oh, there must be. There's a light in there. Try the door.
Yeah, it's open.
Well, let's go.
All right.
Hello in there. Hello. This is another false alarm. Anybody here? I'm a doctor.
Hey, look. In the corner. This I gotta see.
Lady, I'm a doctor from General Hospital. Now, what's the matter?
She is screwy, all right, ain't she?
Frightened.
Come on, Doc. You want us to get her out of here? Or the straitjacket. Should I get the straitjacket? No, Doc, wait. Where are you going?
Can't get it open.
Huh? What's the matter? What do you want to go in there for?
Can't get this open.
Okay.
Whoever is hurt must be in there. Blasted door. Come on, we'll break it down.
But the woman.
Forget the woman. Come on, put your shoulder to it. Come on.
Yeah, all right. It's dark.
Yeah.
Can't see a thing.
Go on back in the other room and get that kerosene lamp.
Well, I
get it, I say.
Yeah, I get it. Here, Doc. The lamp.
Okay. Hold it high.
Yeah?
What? Oh, Mother in Heaven.
What? On the floor. What is it?
It's a man.
Oh, no. It can't be.
Yes, I tell you, yes, it's a man. A man. And he's been turned inside out.
Inside out?
Yes. See for yourself. It's a man. But the skin is the inside. The raw flesh is the outside. Organs hanging.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. A man turned inside out. Like you turn a glove inside.
It's alive. It's alive.
I see it, I see.
Alive?
Yes.
Doc, it's trying to get up.
Oh, no.
Trying to get up, I tell you. Trying to move.
Sam, hold that light high.
I can't watch. Look at it, rolling over.
Stop it,
trying
Sam.
To get up.
Stop that.
Look, trying to get up on its knees. Doc, make it stop. Kill it. Do something.
Sam,
man
stop.
Can't live inside
Sam,
out like that. I tell you.
Stop. Hysterical old woman, that's what you are. Now you stand there and shut up.
Listen to him. Listen to him. Oh, let's get out of here, Doc, please.
Don't be a fool. We've got to find out, Sam. Why? What? Look, there's another door.
Yeah. Open.
The answer might be in there.
Doc, don't.
The lantern. Bring it.
Gee, Doc, why can't we just go?
Hold it high.
Doc, what?
Don't move. There's no floor in there.
I don't see nothing. Nothing but dark.
Well, look. The dark sort of spills over on the edges.
Huh?
Well, look, I tell you. It's a deeper dark than dark. Something moving in there.
Doc, close the door.
No, wait.
Then I'll close it.
Oh, you fool, open that door. I've got to see what... She's coming in here.
Come on, Doc. Let's get out of here.
No, Sam, I'm going to find out what this is all about. All my life, things have been what they've been. I'm going to know all about this.
Please, Doc, please, let's get out of here.
Woman, if you know anything, tell me. What was it we saw back of that door where the floor should have been? Do you know?
She's going to the door. She's going to open it.
Yes.
Oh, Doc, will you listen to me? Let's get out of here.
No, now wait. She's just standing there, looking in at the dark.
Yeah. Doc, what's that coming up out of the hole in the floor?
The dark.
It's like black smoke. Listen to it. It's reaching up to her.
Yes.
What is it? Smoke? Black? What?
Crawling up around her.
It's covering her.
No.
Inside out. It turned her inside out. Inside.
Sam. Sam, get up. Sam, open your eyes. The shadows are crawling along the floor toward us. Come on, Sam. Come on. Sam, you're... Oh, you're too heavy. I can't lift you. Sam, you've got to hear me. The shadows are crawling toward me along the floor. I can't leave you here. You saw what they did to her. Look at her. Inside out. A woman inside out. Oh, Sam. I'll drag you out of here. Oh, you're so heavy. They're coming faster and faster. Like long black fingers. Ah, my legs. Let go of me. Sam, I can't help you. They're holding me back. The black. It's covering you! Sam! Sam. No! No, you thing, whatever you are, get off me! Stop covering me! I've got to get out of here. I've got to tell them all about you. I've got to tell everyone there's something like you loose in the world. Got to warn everybody. Get off me! Cold. Slimy. How can shadows be slimy? So cold. Covering me over. My head. Ah. My face. My face. My mouth. The cold. Oh, God. The cold.
Lisa, how could you creep our audience out like that with that scary thing?
I'm pretty creepy. So
I know you are.
That comes naturally to
Happy
me.
Happy Halloween. And we have Ashley Byhan as our producer tonight, doing a marvelous job
spinning
the dials.
And she's a lot of fun besides.
She is. She's a blast. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the Halloween edition of the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa, we're running a little late, so let's get right into our classic radio show, Inner Sanctum, mystery from July 5th, 1948. This is called Death Demon. It stars Everett Sloan, part one of Inner Sanctum.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries, brought to you by Bromo Seltzer.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host, inviting you through the gory portals of the squeaking door for another soiree with some super-duper supernatural personality. And if you've never met a super-duper supernatural personality, aren't you the lucky one? Because they're devitalized people, usually somewhat dead, with transparent complexions and morbid imaginations. Would you like to become one? You won't have to worry about the high cost of living. And you'll never have to worry about dying, because once you're dead, that little matter will take care of itself. But, why don't I become one? I've got news for you. I am.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum mystery, Death Demon, was written by Milton Lewis and stars Everett Sloan in the role of Howard with Ann Seymour as Gilda, and is presented by the Emerson Drug Company of Baltimore, Maryland, whose registered pharmacist compound Bromo Seltzer, the headache product that fights headache three ways. Bromo Seltzer helps the pain of a headache quickly and pleasantly, and also helps the jittery nerves and stomach upset that may accompany a headache. No wonder in a recent representative nationwide survey, druggists report that of all headache products dispensed at their fountains, the overwhelming favorite is Bromo Seltzer.
All right, friend. Let's stop all this ghoulishness and let's get grim. Now remember our rule. Don't jump out of the window unless it's open. Ready now. Then listen as Howard Ryan tells us his strange story.
The wind was rising when I returned to Greystone Farms late that night. The house with its Victorian gables and towers looked like a clawing hand reaching into the scudding clouds. I went directly to my room, even though the living room was lit up. I had no desire to see my stepmother or the man she had married. The moment I got into my room and turned on the light, I gasped. My things had been disturbed. Many of them were gone. I ran down to the living room.
Come in, Howard. We want to talk to you.
I looked at this young woman, not more than 10 years older than myself, whom I called Mother. In the flickering firelight, she looked more beautiful than ever. But he was there, too. And I felt his voice cut across the room.
You needn't stare at her like that, Howard. She didn't take those things out of your room.
Who did, sir?
I did. Please stop this absurd trick of calling me sir. Do you like it or not, I'm your stepfather.
I'm sorry, sir, but my manner of addressing you is the politest I could think of.
Please, Howard.
Where are the things you took out of my room, sir?
Here.
You had no right to take them.
I told him to.
You?
For your own good, Howard. We were worried about you.
Were you really?
You've been ill. You know what the doctor said. And what we found in your room justified all our fears. How long have you been reading these horrid books?
Ever since my father was murdered.
What do you expect to get out of them?
Perhaps, sir, I expected to find some way of reaching my father.
You know that's nonsense.
Is it?
Books on witchcraft. Necromancy. Morbid rubbish. I gave you credit for more intelligence, Howard.
This brooding about your father might destroy your mind.
And why should you care about that, Mother?
Because, I'm fond of you, Howard. I'm not your real mother, I know, but I tried to be one to you when your father was alive. I want to help you now.
Help? Then why don't you try to find out who murdered my father 2 years ago?
The police are doing everything they can. You think I've stopped trying?
Yes, Mother. I don't believe you even care who murdered your former husband. All you care about is him.
Now, see here, Howard.
It's true. I know it. I'm not a fool. The only reason you permit me to stay in this house is because my father's will compels you to take care of me, or you wouldn't have a penny of income.
Howard, you're hysterical. Can't you see what these books have done to you?
Perhaps you'd like to see what they've done for me, sir.
What are you talking about?
This morbid nonsense. What if I tell you that some of those things are true?
They can't be.
Someday I'll be able to talk to my father and find out who murdered him in his sleep. Perhaps I might be able to do it right now.
Right now?
You're frightened? You wouldn't like to see him again. This man you loved so deeply that you remarried a year after his death.
Stop it, Howard. Stop it.
And you're frightened too, aren't you, sir? And with good reason. I don't think you'd care to meet this man whose wife you stole.
Howard!
Would you like to see him?
I'm not afraid.
Then perhaps I shall make him appear.
What are you saying, Howard?
Do you know where I was all day, Mother? At my father's grave. And look, this earth! I brought some of it back. This earth that's now mingled with his remains. Listen. That's Dane, my father's dog. Animals know when the dead are near. This time it will work, I'm sure. The signs are right.
What are you going to do?
Throw this earth into the fire and follow an ancient ritual to set loose the chained spirits of the dead. There!
Howard!
Did you see how the flames leap up, Mother?
The lightning struck that tree and knocked a branch through the window.
You're wrong. It's my father. Father! Where are you? Father! They didn't believe me, but I knew that at that moment my father came back to this earth. They were terrified, both of them, though they tried not to show it. That night I went to my room, listened to the storm howl itself out. But there was no further sign of my father. I must have slept, perhaps dreamed. Because I heard a voice I hadn't heard in 2 years. I recognized it, still thick with the accent he had acquired from his boyhood in Europe.
My son, wake up and find the person who murdered me. Wake up, my son, wake up.
The next thing I knew, I was rubbing my eyes. My room was full of mist, tinted a strange yellow gold by the murky moonlight that filtered through the windows. My father's dog, Dane, was tugging at my leg. He was trying to lead me out of the room. I followed him through the halls of that huge, silent house to my father's study. It had been locked up since he died, and no one ever used it since. But when I tried the handle this night, the door opened, as though being pulled by some unknown force. Mist and moonlight crept into the study, lit the dust and cobwebs and shadowy furnishings with an eerie light. And then something crashed. A broken vase with a tiny key among its fragments lay on the floor. It might have been Dane who knocked over that vase, but I don't think so. I picked up the key. The moment I had it in my hand, I remembered a scene from my childhood. I had secretly observed my father remove a book from one of the cases, take out this tiny key and open a hidden panel in the bookcase. Like a man in a dream, I repeated the action. I removed the book, and there was the secret panel. I opened it with the key. There was nothing in it.
but a few large notebooks. I took them out, opened one, and by the flickering yellow light of my match, my father came back to me. In this journal, I record thoughts that if they remain unexpressed, might drive me mad. I know now that my wife, Gilda, is seeing another man. I know his name. Dale Barton.
Howard! Howard, open the door! Please!
What do you want, Mother?
Just to see you. I've been worried about you.
Really? Why?
You've been locked in this room for the last 2 days. Here, I have brought you some food.
Thank you. Where is your husband?
He had to drive to town. Howard, you can't go on like this.
You love him very much, don't you?
I wouldn't have married him if I didn't.
You love him more than you love my father?
Please, there's no point in discussing this. Your father's dead, and that's all past.
Not quite dead. In fact, he's very close to us at this moment.
Close?
Yes. So close that he can reach out and touch you.
Howard, let go of my hand.
You don't believe me, Mother.
This is all nonsense.
Is it? What would you do if I told you that my father is holding your hand this very minute? What would you do if I told you that he has taken possession of my body?
Howard, you're ill. You don't know what you're saying.
Did you know Dale Barton before my father was murdered?
No. I only met him after your father died.
You lie.
That's his voice.
You have been seeing Dale Barton for months. I know. I followed you.
No. No.
I talked to you about it the day before I died. You swore he meant nothing to you.
Let go of me. Let go.
Did you kill me?
No. No.
Answer me. Did you murder me? You once said you hated me.
Let go of me. Please.
You said you loved me even on the day I was murdered.
You're hurting me.
Did you murder me? Was it because of him? Tell me.
Help me. He's going to murder me. Help me, someone.
Her, you crazy fool. What's going on here?
Dale, help me. He wants to kill me.
Howard, let go.
No, she's mine.
No.
No.
Dale. Oh, Dale.
Come, Gilda. I'll take you out of here.
He led her out of the room while I lay on the floor. Had she murdered my father? Had he? I knew at last I had the means of finding out. There were thick vines outside my window, and late that night, as I had often done when I was a boy, I carefully, quietly climbed down them, stopping at a point outside their window. I clung to the wall like a bat, and I heard them talking.
Did you hear his voice?
You don't actually believe.
I don't know what to believe. He looks so much like his father. When he sees me, he spoke to me, it was his father.
Julia, you're being foolish about this.
Am I? On the day William was murdered, Howard was away at college. How could he have known what we talked about? And he did know. That boy seemed to know every word. That boy, or is he his father?
Gilda, do you know what you're saying?
Yes, this isn't an ordinary thing. There's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yes, there is, Lisa.
There's always something that you can do about it.
More of Inner Sanctum after this.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld...
Yes, Boris Karloff sounded like that, Lisa.
Yeah, it's definitely not him.
Program 330, our Halloween show. We're having a lot of fun. Ashley Byhan, our producer, and Lisa Wolf to my right, my co-host. We're listening to Inner Sanctum Mysteries. This is called The Death Demon. Let's get back to it right now.
I climbed back to my room to think. I dared not go to sleep because I knew my father had been murdered in his sleep. And if they had murdered him, they'd certainly have an excellent reason to kill me. I thought of running away, but then I would never find out. I know now why I couldn't run away. My father within me was holding me there. I lay down on my bed to rest. And then suddenly, I found myself dreaming that a pair of powerful hands were clutching at my throat. I struggled, gasped for breath, tried to scream. I was being murdered in my sleep, just as my father was. I clawed at those iron fingers, clawed at those hands that were cutting off my life. And then I opened my eyes and discovered that it was not a nightmare. I hadn't been dreaming. It was real. I was being murdered.
You are listening to Inner Sanctum, brought to you by... Right now, after all the excitement of the 4th of July, I'll bet lots of people have holiday headaches. If you're one of those unhappy folks, I'll tell you how to get fast headache help. Just take a sparkling, refreshing glass of Bromo Seltzer. You'll find that Bromo Seltzer fights headache three ways fast.
First, Bromo Seltzer helps the pain of a headache and does it quickly and pleasantly.
Second, Bromo Seltzer helps calm, jumpy, jangled nerves.
Third, Bromo Seltzer helps soothe an upset stomach.
And since stomach upset and jittery nerves may team up with an ordinary headache, it makes a lot of sense to insist on Bromo Seltzer, the headache help that's famous for fighting headache three ways. Bromo Seltzer is a favorite help all year round because it's so refreshing and pleasant tasting. Ask at your druggist's fountain or counter for speedy, economical...
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Well, friend, your breathing spell is over. Now it's time to lose your breath again, so let's get back to our story. Now, what did we do with the call? Oh, yes. We were interrupted while we were making one. And if you remember, the corpse belonged to Howard Rhyme, the young man who was telling us this story. He had just discovered that his dream had come true, and someone was choking him to death. That's a nice way to wake up from sleep, isn't it? Well, let's have Howard tell us what happened.
My eyes focused through the haze, and I recognized Dale, my stepfather. They were his hands that were around my neck. Suddenly, I heard Dale bark, and the door flew open, and like a writhing cannon shell, the dog flew through the air at the throat of my stepfather. A moment later, I felt his hands release me as he shouted.
Stop him! Go, Wolfhard! Just kill me! I'll kill you!
For a moment, I did nothing. I knew I wanted him to die, but I still wasn't sure if he had killed my father. I suppose I was a fool, but I yelled,
"Yes,
Dane, stop it! Down, Dane, down! Here, Dane, come here!
What? Who opened the door? I want to get out of here.
Not yet.
Why? Are you going to turn that dog loose on me again?
Perhaps.
You want to kill me?
You tried to kill me.
Kill you? Have you lost your mind completely?
I woke up with your hands around my throat.
You're insane. I was trying to pick you up from the floor.
You're lying!
I'm not! I heard you moaning and screaming, and I came up to see what was wrong. I found you on the floor. You were having a nightmare.
Was I?
Of course. Why should I want to kill you?
Because I may find out how you murdered my father. What he said could have been true. I had had little sleep for a long time, and his attack on me could have been a nightmare. I could never be certain. But to protect myself, I kept a gun with me at all times. I read and reread the journals of my father, which I had found. More and more often, it was his voice that came out of my mouth, his thoughts that filled my mind. And then came the night when I found out the truth.
Good evening, Howard.
What are you doing in my room, sir?
I came to have a talk with you.
Dane! Dane!
There's no use calling for your dog. You'll never see him again.
What did you do with him?
It should have been done long ago.
What? What have you got there?
A knife. It's quite sharp. quite suited to the purpose I intended for.
You came to kill me. Did my mother put you up to this?
No. As a matter of fact, your stepmother is in town right now. We two are quite alone.
I see.
You've always hated me, haven't you, Howard?
Yes, sir.
I suppose you can't help it. Your stepmother's a very beautiful woman.
She has nothing to do with us.
Makes very little difference. The fact of the matter is that you become dangerously psychopathic. I want you to know that I've taken steps to have you confined.
Oh, so that's the game, sir. You're going to kill me and tell the authorities you were protecting yourself from a homicidal maniac.
I'm glad you're aware of your disadvantages.
But you're not aware of yours.
A gun.
Did you murder my father?
We're going to...
Did you kill me?
Who? Who's speaking?
Answer me. Did you murder me?
Who are you? What are you?
Answer me.
Yes, I'll answer you. I'll kill you.
Don't. Speak before you die. Did you murder me in my sleep? I have got to know now.
Murder you.
Did you? Did you?
But he never spoke again. My father, using my body, had murdered him.
Howard, have you seen Dale?
Yes, Mother.
Where is he?
Come in. He's in here.
Howard, you murdered him.
Yes, when he tried to throw that knife at me, you see, he still has it in his hand.
Howard!
Don't try to get away.
Let me out of here.
No, Mother!
And don't call me Mother. You're no son of mine. You're a murderer.
Yes, Mother, but less of a murderer than you are. At least I killed in self-defense. Not when my victim was asleep, helpless, and unaware of danger.
Get me out of here.
No, you're going to stay. Yes, this gun. The same gun I used to murder your husband. Stay just where you are.
Why?
Because I want you to see this man who succeeded my father. This creature whom you love. Look at him there, Mother. Twisted grotesquely into the whining coward he proved himself to be in death. Look at him. This is the man you gave up my father for. This is the man you committed murder for.
Let me go.
Now look. This is the man who used his last breath to betray you.
Betray me?
Yes.
How?
He said that you killed my father. Yes.
It's a lie.
Is it, Gilda?
William.
Is it?
Yes, I didn't murder you.
I mean to know the truth. Do not think this is some trick played by my son. I am William. I know things which only you and I in all the world know.
Stop it.
Tell me the truth.
Don't point that gun at me.
Your only chance is to tell me the truth.
Will you let me live?
It will depend on what you tell me.
Then why should I tell you?
Because I am your husband, who once loved and trusted you, Gilda. Tell me. Tell me now, or you will die.
Very well. I did it. I committed the murder. That's what you wanted to hear, is it? That's what you wanted me to tell you, is it?
It is what I wanted to know.
What are you going to do?
What do you think I should do?
Let me live. I've loved you. I've always loved you. It wasn't my fault. He put me up to it. Now that he's dead, I realize what I've done.
Do you?
Yes. Let me live. Let me live.
Perhaps I shall, Mother.
Howard. Oh, you understand, don't you? It's just as it happened with you and your father. So it happened with Dale and myself. You won't do anything to me, will you? I'm not your real mother, I know, but I have loved you, Howard. You know I've loved you, and I still love you.
Tell me one thing. Was he as guilty as you?
Yes. Yes, it was really all his fault.
Then come with me, Gilda. We're going to the police. And that's what happened, Inspector. She finally confessed. And I brought her here.
Have you anything to say, ma'am?
Yes, Inspector.
Well?
Everything I told my stepson, every word of my confession, was a lie.
Mother!
This boy's insane. He's been out of his mind ever since his father was murdered. I only made that confession to humor him and save my life. And I can prove what I say. More than one doctor has found him unbalanced.
I believe you, ma'am.
Inspector, you can't. This woman murdered my father. She told
me. We know who murdered your father, son. It was not this woman. He picked up a man yesterday. He confessed. Gave us all the details. They all checked with the evidence. His name is Ralph Stone. Criminal with a long record. And he murdered your father for money.
Then it wasn't my mother.
No, it wasn't your stepmother, no. It was her husband, Dale Burton. We learned that he hired this Ralph Stone to commit the murder.
Then I was right. My father knew what he was doing when he made me pull that trigger.
I wonder, son. Because you're under arrest for murder.
I kept telling them that I didn't murder Dale Barton. I didn't pull that trigger. It was my father who murdered him. They don't believe me. But it has to be right, you see. How could father have known Dale was guilty without supernatural knowledge? My father still lives inside of me. And sometimes he talks.
Well, friend, there's nothing wrong with little old Howard. Just a little bit nuts, but who isn't? And how'd you like someone to possess you someday? Just think, you could lead a double life for the price of a single. In fact, you may be able to save money because, as everybody knows, two can live cheaper than one. Which brings us to the moral of tonight's story, taken from the croonings of Nature Girl, who warbles, "Don't drop dead except in bed, otherwise you can break your head." Well, it's time to close that squeaking door for another 7-day rest. Until next week at this time, when Bromo Seltzer brings you another Inner Sanctum mystery directed by Hyman Brown. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is Report for a Corpse by Henry Kane. Next week's tale is titled Death is a Magician. A guy loses his girl, loses his mind, and meets a magician named Marco. Now, Marco makes an easy mark of our hero, and in turn, our hero uses Marco for target practice in a marathon murder. Marco, you see, just won't stay dead. Sounds scrambled. See us next Monday, friends, and we guarantee to scramble you some, too. Until then, good night. Pleasant dreams.
This is Dwight Wiest inviting you to tune in again next Monday at this same time to Inner Sanctum, which is brought to you for your entertainment every Monday right through the summer by...
Bromo Seltzer.
This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is Inner Sanctum Mysteries, July 5th, 1948, Death Demon, starring Everett Sloan. Dwight Wiest doing the announcing on that. That's Diane Wiest's dad, the actress. I think she's won an Academy Award. She's been in a lot of Woody Allen movies and things. All right, I hope you enjoyed Inner Sanctum Mysteries. We'll be back after these words. It's our annual Halloween program, Lisa.
Well, you're pretty scary, so I'm frightened over here.
The lights keep flickering in the studio here, and there's giant spiders everywhere.
There is?
Yeah.
There are?
Yes. It's creeping me
you
out.
You have an imagination.
What have you been smoking tonight?
I'm telling you, his imagination is running wild.
Okay.
Never. I never do any hallucinogens at all. Oh. Just being around Lisa is a hallucinogen
enough. It's a trip
enough,
right?
It is a trip, yeah.
I know it.
In our next hour, crime classics. If a body need a body, just call Burke and Hare. You know, Burke and Hare were murderers back in the history books, and you'll hear all about those two evildoers. And then after that, it's the sealed book, a show called Till Death Do Us Part, where a husband drowns his wife and she comes back after he drowns her. That's just right.
The nerve
that is
her.
Just not
I think
right
that's your fear.
That.
So sorry.
So anyway, that's coming your way on our Halloween show. But right now, it's time for news. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Did I say valuable wrong again? I say valuable. Valuable.
You just, it's four syllables.
How many valuables? How many valuables
in there?
The planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. I get very giddy around Halloween.
I think you get giddy around me.
It's my second favorite holiday.
I know, right after Christmas, yeah. We've heard it.
All right, here's David Jennings.
We've got some clouds and 43 degrees at O'Hare. A Pennsylvania man has been charged with federal hate crimes and other offenses for allegedly shooting up a synagogue in Pittsburgh with an assault rifle yesterday.
You know what is a thriller to do this show with you, Lisa.
Oh, that was good, Carl. That was really, really witty.
Not bad, right? this is our Halloween show. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm here with Lisa Wolf, my co-host. And we will be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Then we'll be back here tonight again with more scary radio shows.
Yes.
Beginning at 11 p.m. And we'll be on the air till 1 o'clock in the morning.
And I was going to say, don't forget about our text in line. I am watching and reading everything. 312-981-7200. And of course, we have a Facebook page, so you can check it out and always feel that you can communicate with us throughout the show.
All right. Well, before we tune in to crime classics from 1953, thought we'd play another clip from the Arch Obler Drop Dead album. This is called Taking Papa Home.
Will you quiet down? And don't pull at me. I'm driving. Really, Harold.
Really, Harold. Really, Harold. Really, really, really.
All right. I suppose you have it coming. You've waited for your pension a long time. So, this is your night to howl. Oh, really, Harold? All these years, I never realized you had it in you. I wish I could make a recording of this and play it for you tomorrow morning. You won't believe me when I tell you.
Home, home on the range.
Home is exactly where you're going, mister.
Mister Meade is going to buy his wife a new car out of the first pension check.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new car,
mm-hmm.
Mister Meade.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. One for each foot and a swimming pool to wash it in. With that company check, we'll be lucky to have steak once a month. It'll be good to be together again, Harold. No more getting up at 7:30 and coming home so late. It'll be wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. I do wish we could get a new car. How I hate to drive this one. My goodness, we're at the railroad crossing already. Oh, those miserable old gears. Oh, my goodness, on the track.
On the track, on the track, on the track.
Start, will you? Start. Start, start. Train. Can't be. Oh, no. Harold,
uh-huh.
wait. Wake up, Harold. There's a train.
Yeah.
I remember. I lose the starter motor. I can't get it in gear. I can't. Harold, we gotta get out. Wake up. We gotta get out.
I'm gonna sleep.
No. No, there's a train. You gotta get out, Harold, for God's sake. Harold, please. I won't go without you. Harold, darling, please. Please get out of here, please, Harold. You gotta stay alive. Oh, you've worked so hard waiting for the day. This is fair. Harold, please. The door's open. I can't lift you. You're too heavy.
Not good. Arch Obler, The Dark, and we played The Dark in the first hour. It's Taking Papa Home. We have some more clips from the Drop Dead album. This was a Capitol Records album. Arch Obler, of course, created Lights Out. Actually, he didn't create Lights Out, but he was one of the producers and writers of Lights Out. Willis Cooper created Lights Out. But Arch Obler recorded this album. That was Bea Benaderet, who played Betty Rubble on the Flintstones, and she was the mom on Petticoat Junction. And he used all of these radio pros. In fact, you'll hear Hal Perry doing, in the next hour, we're going to play a clip called A Day at the Dentist, Hal Perry in that. So he did this kind of scary album, and it was a top seller. It was radio drama being brought back again in the late 60s, early 70s. So we're playing some clips on our Halloween show. Before we tune in to Crime Classics, I want to remind all of our listeners about our Classic Radio Club. Folks, we have started a club for people who love old-time radio shows. And if you want to join the club and be part of the club, just go to ClassicRadioClub.com. All the information is there. And Lisa's a member, right, Lisa?
I am, and I look forward to once a month receiving a special surprise package in the mail, because who doesn't love a surprise in the mail?
Every single month you get a package.
It's not just any surprise. It's a surprise with Classic Radio on it. So anybody who's listening to the show appreciates Classic Radio. And what I get each month is 5 CDs, which contain 10 Classic Radio shows. It's always a variety of shows, and it's always a different show. So I will never receive the same show twice, because you have an infinite amount of shows to send, and I know you pick only the best ones.
Yep.
And they're only the best quality shows as well, so that you can be assured of. And there is no other place to receive shows like this, with this variety and this quality of shows. And what we can do is do this for the very low price of $4.99 for the first month. And the best thing I can do is tell you to check it out on the website. Go to ClassicRadioClub.com. If you have any questions, feel free to text us or send in a message on Facebook. But we are positive that you will appreciate receiving Classic Radio every month to your door. And starting out, it's $4.99. Check it out. You'll be glad that you did.
Yeah, and I write very copious liner notes about these Classic Radio shows and send those along with the CDs as well. And the CDs come in a really nice collector case. So every month you not only get the 5 CDs in a case, but you also get the liner notes. And as Lisa said, I spend a lot of time going through the archives and picking 10 shows every single month that I know you're going to love. And you're going to discover shows that you may not know were ever broadcast. I mean, the biggest and best shows, the biggest stars, Bob Hope, Jack Benny, Red Skelton, Lucille Ball, you name it, you'll get it every month when you join the Classic Radio Club. Just go to ClassicRadioClub.com. All right, we have Crime Classics coming your way right after these words. Who are you going to call, Lisa?
I'm going to call Ghostbusters.
Very good. Text us 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts. And we love playing classic radio shows for you. And we love Halloween
And who
time.
Chose these great songs for us tonight? That
Ashley
would be Ashley Byhun.
She is the one. She's our wonderful producer. We have her for later tonight as well.
We do. She's filling in this weekend. And we always have a great time and a perfect show. So it's a great combination.
We do. Are you ready for our next classic radio show, Lisa? It is Crime Classics. Let's go back to December 2nd, 1953. This is called If a Body Need a Body, Just Call Burke and Hare. It stars Lou Merrill as our connoisseur of crime, Thomas Highland. You are going to like it. Here's part one of Crime Classics.
Good evening. This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland with another true story of crime. Listen. That's the way a room sounds. A particular room in a narrow street in Edinburgh, Scotland. Someplace in the wall there was a drip. When the room was still, when there was a lodger in it, asleep, that was the sound. But listen again. That's the way it sounded when it rained, because the room was just below gutter level, and the rainwater rushed by the room's only window. Many lodgers caught cold in this room. They were lucky. Many other lodgers wound up on a dissecting table. They were murdered. By Mr. Burke, who smothered, and by Mr. Hare, who held. So tonight, my report to you, if a body need a body, just call Burke and Hare. Crime Classics, a series of true crime stories from the records and newspapers of every land, from every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now, once again, Mr. Thomas Highland. Edinburgh in 1826, a city famous for lassies, laddies, people coming through the rye, scotch, kilties, and medical schools. It is this last I'd like to speak a word about. Now, when a student entered medical school, he studied anatomy right off. No Roman in the gloaming. Enter school, cut up a cadaver. Except, there weren't enough cadavers. Executed criminals were the only legitimate source of supply. Therefore, a new occupation sprang up and flourished. Grave snatching. Piecework in corpses. Rob a grave of its contents and sell it to science. Yet, the supply didn't meet the demand. So, as in every profession, there were those who looked for shortcuts. Burke and Hare came up with one. They owned that room I told you about. A room in Tanner's Close.
I'm tired of waiting for him to die, Burke. Go look at him.
Yes. I can't tell whether he's breathing or not. The old man's so skinny. So sick.
Hear if his heart beats.
It beats. Such a skinny man. Such a sick, skinny man. Such a sick, skinny old man. And he will not die.
Burke.
Aye?
The other who sought lodging here and who died brought us £8.
Aye?
This one?
Aye?
He's older than the last. Dr. Knox will not be happy of him. However, we should not accept less than £8.
Aye. Hare. Is there more whiskey, Hare?
Nor food. Nothing. Nothing save an old, sick, skinny man who takes space and will not die.
It's so cold here. So cold. Oh, my hands be numb.
Whiskey would warm them from the fingertips. From the fingertips...
Hare.
Aye?
Hare.
Say it, man.
If this old man were to die this minute...
If we were to stuff him in the T-test this minute...
And walk with him to the anatomy laboratory of Dr. Knox...
And Dr. Knox pays upon delivery...
We would have whiskey in a half hour from now.
Well, that is if this old man were to die this minute.
But that would be murder.
It would.
Have you ever done a thing like that?
No.
Such an old man. To lie sick. To suffer in a cold room. Wet room. No family to give him comfort.
Poor old man.
Burke. Aye?
To kill him would be to bruise him. Dr. Knox perhaps would not accept a corpse unprettied by bruises.
However...
What?
However, if I... If I put my hand over his nose and mouth like this...
Jamie, at such a time like... Oh, such a time to come. He's gone.
Hold his feet here so he'll not kick. Aye, lad, like that.
Is he dead?
I'll listen to his heart.
Is he dead? Is he dead? Is he dead? Is he dead?
Dead.
You have called me from my lecturing, gentlemen. To insist upon it, I suggest...
Enough words, Dr. Knox. Take a look. Now, was it worth calling you away for, Doctor?
A half hour dead, I'd say.
Less, wouldn't you say, Hare?
Oh, I'd say it was worth more than £8.
Fine specimen. Fresh.
£10.
I'm not a quibbler, gentlemen. As a matter of fact, I'm on record as saying that quibbling is a...
The lecture's in the other room, Doctor. Just give us the tenor.
Certainly. Here.
Thank you.
Two bodies in a week, gentlemen. Basis for an acquaintanceship, do you know, think? Therefore, if I might make a suggestion.
Suggest away.
Two bodies in a week, both male. My students, when they will become physicians, will be called upon to administer to both sexes. Therefore...
You want a lady.
Good day, gentlemen. I must back to my students.
Dr. Knox had more students than anybody. He was much admired in the city of Edinburgh, a man of culture and wit, and an excellent surgeon. A democratic man, he got along as well with the aristocracy of the city as with its murderers. A proof?
Ain't that Dr. Knox a nice gent, hey?
A ragibu, a danny man.
Proof, as furnished by Burke and Hare. Two fellows with 10, less what they paid for a bottle.
He said he wanted a lady. Have a drink.
Aye. A real ragibu, that Dr. Knox. Have a drink.
And, arm in arm, they walked through the slums of Edinburgh. And they looked fine against this background.
Rice! Bones! Cat skin! Human hair!
Rags and bones and cat skin and human hair and cast-off shoes.
Feathers! Trinkets! Fish heads!
Trinkets and fish heads. Second-hand goods purveyed to people who were dying the instant they were born. Stalls of tatters, shops of fragments and shame, alleys and filth, 10 years old. And through it, chameleons Burke and Hare.
Have a drink, Mr. Hare.
Have a drink.
Roll and roll the north it blows.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, lad.
Have a drink.
Who knew?
Here's a coin, lad.
Thank you. You got a song I can sing for you?
Oh, have a drink, lad.
Oh, no, sir, Mr. Burke.
Oh, no, sir, Mr. Burke. Like an angel, he says it. Angel with cheek like down between my fingers. Have a drink.
No, sir.
No, you run, give the coin to your mother, boy.
Thank you.
Come along, Hare.
I
was saying, Hare...
About Dr. Knox, you were saying.
Aye.
What his lack was.
What he said he's needing.
Have a drink.
Hey, there's no more in it here. Ain't me wanting a drink. Aye, there's a place.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, barman. A bottle of your finest.
Aye, that's the word, barman. The finest. The finest for Burke and Hare.
Have a drink, Mr. Hare.
Have a drink, Burke.
Hey, Billy Burke!
Mary, Mary, Mary.
A lady.
Such as ladies are in this corner of Edinburgh here.
You're laughing. Tell me a one so I can do a laughing too.
A fable, Mary. Pretty Mary. Bonny Mary. And not for your ears.
In what of my ears?
Oh, dainty and little pearl shells. Give us a kiss.
Give us a copper.
Good, Mary. Have a copper, Mary. Give us a kiss, Mary.
A bargain's a bargain, ain't it?
Such pretty shoulders on you.
What'd you say?
Such pretty shoulders.
You're a darling.
Now, is it true Mary was painted by an artist?
True. A dolly lad with a beard. A tickling beard.
Aye, Mary.
A kiss, a copper.
You need lodgings tonight, Mary.
Aye. One more copper and I can pay for it.
I got a clean room, a lodgings room. Next to my cobbling shop, I got one.
Aye, I've heard.
And from the looks of your shoes, Mary, you could stand some cobbling.
With what money?
For free. Now, ain't them pretty words, Mary? For free.
For free. Cobbling for your pretty feet is. And a clean bed.
Now, come along, Mary.
What trick?
Come along, Mary.
Is it a trick?
Now, come along, Mary.
You wouldn't play a trick, would you?
You just come along.
Oh, very well.
So Burke and Hare and Mary Patterson went to the room under the gutter, and Mary took off her shoes to cobble. And she lay down in bed to sleep. Ah, she was very beautiful.
You are listening to Crime Classics and your host, Thomas Hyland.
All right, we'll get back to Crime Classics after these words.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
That were is a relative of Lisa.
Well, I'm waiting for the howl to the
wolf.
Moon.
Get it? Were wolf?
I don't get it.
Werewolf. Their wolf.
Where's wolf?
Werewolves in London.
Gotta love this song. It's such a classic,
cool song,
you know? Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I picked it.
Our Halloween show here at the WGN Radio Theater.
We're not dressed up, but we're still having a lot of Halloween fun. There
yes,
is nobody dressed up in the studio at all right now.
Well,
so.
I put my costume from yesterday away.
Well, why?
Why? Because I was very hot and sweaty inside of it.
Well, I feel let down because I
don't
saw
be
on
let
Facebook
down. I'll come
that
in and shake
you
hands.
Were,
Mr.
You know,
Potato Head.
Mr. Yeah. Potato Head, and today I don't get that, and so I'm
that was
a little
a costume?
Disappointed.
But I'm with you every day like that.
Mr. Potato Head?
Yes.
Roger, was that actually a costume?
Wait a minute, let me take off my regular face and
wait
put
a minute.
On my costume.
No, don't do that!
Maybe you could redeem yourself tonight, Roger.
I'll come in and shake hands with you. You'll be surprised.
Oh, yes, I will.
Well, we're having a lot of fun on our Halloween show, and we're tuning in to Crime Classics. If a body need a body, just call Burke and Hare. Let's get back to it right now.
And now, once again, Thomas Hyland and the second act of Crime Classics. And his report to you on If a Body Need a Body, Just Call Burke and Hare. In the winter of
1826, Edinburgh was a talk again about the latest appearance of the Loch Ness Monster. And speaking of lochs, Edinburgh was also a talk about the Loch Fenwick imbroglio, whereby Sir Angus MacDermot was stripped of his tartan and forced to flee with his six sons to the Netherlands, where they were received with snickers by the populace. Having been thus rocked, Edinburgh was little prepared for what was in store. For in Tanner's Close, a street that spilled into a pigsty, there lived two men.
As sure as my name is Billy Burke, she's a pretty.
And Billy Burke's friend, Billy Hare.
Aye, and a bonny sleeper.
Aye.
Hold her. Is she dead? Is she dead?
Aye?
Is she dead?
I said aye.
Tell me, is she...
What's gotten to your man?
And such a bonny sleeper. Such a...
Why must I slap you so, man?
Tell me a thing, Burke.
Aye?
That pretty thing, is she dead?
I said it, now what's gotten to you?
Tell me.
Didn't you feel the slaps, man?
Oh.
Well, what is it?
She be dead.
Aye, she'll fetch £20 in a dead market.
Aye.
Now, give us a hand.
What did you do to her?
Hare! Billy, Hare, what? Hare!
The thing you did to her.
Then, you remember, that's the gutter right above the only window in the room. Then,
carrying her in this rain. Let's wait a bit. Maybe it'll stop.
And they sat there, the two of them, their presence making complete the nightmare scene. The room of moistened shadows, of a girl dead, of a heaping of rags in the corner, clothes of two others who had died there. And outside, the thin yelping... And outside, the thin hand, still outstretched...
Dennis! Tinkins! Catskins! Dennis!
I need out of here, Burke. I need out of here, Burke.
Fetch the tea chest.
I need out of here, Burke.
Aye, lad.
Pleasant that you invited me for tea, Dr. Knox.
A ritual, sir. To all who come to me to learn. I like to get to know my young doctors.
No doctor yet.
But as good as one.
It is said from London north to here, in all of the cities, there is no greater teacher in the field of anatomical study than you, sir.
They say that.
Wherever doctors gather, those who have studied with you are assured of a future.
Hold your thought, young man. I'll return in a moment. Who is it?
Hold close your lamp, Dr. Knox.
Quick, man, who is it?
Burke and Hare.
And a tea chest.
Oh, inside. Quickly. Eh? Well, what have you?
You made a suggest the last time we were here to deliver, Doctor.
Well.
Show him.
Aye.
Now hold close your lamp when you look what we've brought you.
Good?
£20 good?
That good? Yeah. £20.
Here?
Thank you. What's the matter, Doctor?
Why is her hand clenched so tightly?
Why, I'm sure, sir, that...
Well, let's have a look. Yeah, let's tighten. There. Two coppers. I wonder.
You wonder what, Doctor?
Such a pretty she is. Why to be clenching so tight to two coppers in her hand?
Why, I wonder that too.
Oh, yeah, so do I. I have a guest. Good evening, gentlemen. Now, young sir, I believe you're holding a thought. What is it?
Eventually, it stopped raining, and life went on in the alleys of Edinburgh, and over the counters and stalls, the second-hand things were bartered for, became necessities for a time, and were bartered again. And from these alleys, 16 people known disappeared. 16 people to whom death, too, was somehow second-hand, having known dying every day of their existence. One of them...
£20 lively.
Give the boy a copper, Mr. Hare.
Aye. Here, catch.
Thank you.
Now, come along and I'll cobble you a pair of shoes, lad.
Oh, I don't...
Oh, for free, lad. For free.
Thank you. Thank you.
And 2 days later, around the corner and down the street and up a hall and through a gate and up a walk and through a door.
Now, if you'll come closer, young doctors, you will see how an incision from the umbilicus to this point, the sternum, then laterally
Dr. to... Dr. Knox.
A moment, please, sir, and I'll answer the question. Such an incision made with...
Dr. Knox.
Oh, such insistence. Very well. Not very well at all, however.
I'm sure this boy has been murdered.
Murdered?
2 nights ago, I saw this boy. He was singing a song in Tanner's Close.
Tanner's Close? That garbage scow?
This boy is known as Jamie. I know, for I spoke with him. And he sang a song for me. And he was well. And, sir?
Aye?
There is a bruise here. Come, look close here. At his throat. Surely that is a bruise.
Young sir... What are you after?
So much talk of how bodies are obtained for dissection. Therefore...
Young sir, what are you after?
Surely you would not condone murder as a source of supply.
Young sir, you have not answered my question. When I have asked you, what are you after? I mean, is it to become a physician?
Yes, sir.
And a healer?
Yes, sir.
And knowledgeable in your profession?
Yes, sir.
Then admit, sir, that the study of the human body is a prime requisite.
Of course.
Return to your place, sir.
Yes, sir.
The incision I now make from the umbilicus toward this point on the sternum and thence laterally... Lady, lady, now.
You want to buy rags, bones, feathers?
You want what? To sell.
And what to sell?
Come see.
Where?
I've got a place. Rags. A big bag full.
I'll come to look.
Then come. Come.
A bit. Grip! Grip! This be my son-in-law, gents. Mind the stall, Gray. I go with these gents to buy.
Feathers! Rags! Oh, here!
Where be this place?
In Tanner's Close, near the end.
Near the pigsty?
Aye.
Oh, love me. How can you live there?
Some say it is difficult, Granny. Come, come.
Open! Open! Granny! Mimsy!
Granny!
Oh, no, no.
What is she?
Who do you speak of, son?
My Mimsy.
Who be you?
I'm Gray, Mimsy's son-in-law. Mimsy, who you took last night.
Ah.
Who you took last night to Celtic. She did not return. All the night long awaited.
Why, lad, why...
Where is she?
She's gone.
Why gone?
To where did my Mimsy go?
Gentle, lad, gentle.
Away with your hand.
Such a big lad, such a big...
What's that?
No, lad, no.
Mimsy's shawl.
A mistake, lad.
Mimsy's shawl. And here, the shirt of her. And blood.
Now, gentle lad, now here, take a fiver and...
Blood,
and take...
blood. All these rags. Mimsy!
Hold him back, I'll get me a knife.
Here's Mimsy. Under the rags is Mimsy. Please! 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 Please!
The boy finally got himself understood by the police. They came then to Tanner's Close and found Mimsy. Then they found Burke and Hare. Then they were asked if they had anything to do with Mimsy's death.
I done it.
And to 17 others?
Just like that. Confessed. For some reason that history makes obscure or just doesn't like to talk about, Hare was let free. Burke, however, suffered the last penalty of the law. He was brought to the gibbet, his heart pounding. The rope was placed about his neck. And his body was delivered to Dr. Monroe's academy, where it was dissected by young sirs on their way to becoming doctors. And Dr. Knox? And Dr. Knox, buyer of murdered men? He fled from scandal and disappeared. But one source has it that he was seen some 10 years later, walking the narrow street in Edinburgh called Tanner's Close, walking northward toward the pigsty. In just a moment, Thomas Highland will tell you about next week's crime classic. Burke and Hare, tonight's crime classic, was adapted from the original court reports and newspaper accounts by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The music was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann, and the program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Thomas Highland is portrayed on radio by Lou Merrill. In tonight's story, Jack Crucian was heard as Mr. Burke, and Jay Novello as Mr. Hare. Featured in tonight's cast were William Johnstone, Jeanette Nolan, Charles Davis, Betty Harford, and Richard Peel. Bob Lamond speaking. And here again is Thomas Highland. Next week, Washington, D.C., on the night of April 14th, 1865. My report to you will be on the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Thank you. Good night.
CBS Radio's 21st Precinct has moved to a new neighborhood. Follow the exciting work of Captain Kennelly and his 21st Precinct every Friday night on most of these same stations starting this Friday. Don't miss the gripping case of the LD number 80, revealing a great human story behind an elderly man's application for a gun permit on this Friday's 21st Precinct program. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
That is Crime Classics, December 2nd, 1953. If a body need a body, just call Burke and Hare. Very interesting docudrama that aired for just one season from 1953 until 1954, produced and directed by Mr. Radio, Elliot Lewis. His wife was Kathy Lewis, and she was in a ton of radio shows. And he, of course, played Frankie Remley on Phil Harris and Alice Faye. He was a terrific director, writer, actor. And that's why he was dubbed Mr. Radio.
I thought you were Mr. Radio.
Well, Not back then.
No, but now you are.
Really?
Yes.
All right, I'll take it.
I'm going to start calling you that, Mr. Radio.
I'll take it.
All right.
Thanks, Lisa. All right, when we come back from this break, it's more of our Halloween show right here on the WGN Radio Theater. You know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
I have been going through all of the library for picking out the Classic Radio Club shows. And we came across some great Halloween shows for this week and weekend, I should say. And next week is November, so we have kind of regular shows throughout November and then some Thanksgiving shows. But then in December, we start our Halloween program.
Our holiday program.
Yeah.
There's always something coming. We'll go from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas. There'll be some romance for Valentine's Day. I know, that's your favorite.
Blech. Romance, what's that?
You know, it's funny. I just was going to mention, I was listening to my second favorite radio star.
Who's that?
Howard Stern.
Oh, Howard Stern. Lisa loves Howard Stern.
I got a thing for Howard Stern. And just today, I was listening to him on the radio.
Yeah.
And he told me that he loves romantic stories. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah. I was I thought, wow, that is so anti-Carl.
Yeah.
He was talking to Jonah Hill, and he was interviewing him, and he was talking about him and his girlfriend, Jonah's girlfriend. He said, give me a romantic story. I just love a good romance.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I will say this. I saw A Star Is Born.
Yes.
And that was fantastic.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm probably the only person who hasn't seen it yet, but I will see it.
It was really good.
I was at a lot of shows this week, theater, but I will go to that movie.
You should check it out.
I will.
Yeah, I mean, Gaga is
Gaga.
She's Gaga.
You're on like a first name basis with her.
And then, of course, Bradley Cooper is amazing. Everybody in the movie is amazing.
He learned to sing for this movie, which I don't understand how one can do that. But
all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a good singer.
Yeah, well, I didn't learn to do it in 6 months, and I still can't sing like he does.
Yeah, so. He sings great in the movie. So check out A Star Is Born. Very, very good movie. All right, well, in our next hour, we're going to tune in to The Sealed Book from 1945. It was actually a broadcast that ran on this radio station on WGN back in 1945. You're going to hear it. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Well, here are the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantes, weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 1:02 in the morning. Time for the news. Here's Roger Baddick.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting.
I think I even know what this is from. Is this Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Sure is.
I would have.
It's
really
been a lot of years since I've seen this movie. I guess it comes out in Halloween. Have you seen it recently? I saw it when I was in high school. A couple years ago when I was in high school.
I was in something really crazy happened. I was in Arizona with my son. I was playing in a baseball tournament this last week. That's why I wasn't here last weekend. And thank you, by the way, and Mike, and also Dave Plyer. I really thank the three of you for covering for me last weekend.
I had a lot of fun without you.
I'm sure you did. I had a lot of fun with my son in Arizona. We were in Scottsdale area. And have you ever heard of these things called the birds? The bird?
I read about it. They want to bring them to Chicago, but there's a lot of issues.
Ashley, do you know what this is? The bird? Do you know what it is?
It's what we give you when we get aggravated. No.
It's a motorized scooter. And I'm telling you, this was a blast.
You just pick them up wherever and you drop them off wherever.
You download the app. My son did that, of course. I don't know how to do that. But they're called the Bird. And they're a motorized scooter, but they're two wheels. I mean, you got to really know how to ride a bike. Yeah. And we were just motoring all over Scottsdale with these things for like an hour and a half. It was so much fun. It was a blast.
So how much does it cost? I don't even know.
It was like $10 each for like an hour and a half. It was very inexpensive. And we had so much fun. But you can't ride on the sidewalk. You have to ride on the street. So you kind of got to be careful.
Yeah,
you got to be careful. And my son dropped his phone while he was driving. And some nice lady, I called it, and some nice lady named Mary.
You were lucky.
Answered. She's like, yep, I've got your phone. And so we ended up getting his phone back. But
that was very lucky. Yeah. It is the worst feeling to lose your phone.
He was like,
we've all
devastated.
Been there, right? We've all had that like pit in your stomach when you turn around and your phone has disappeared.
Yeah,
it's awful.
But we had a great time. I'm just glad to be back because
we're glad you're back.
Doing the show.
I know you. I told you were going to miss it.
And there's no way I would miss doing the Halloween show.
Well, we're glad you're back too.
In this hour, thank you. We have the sealed book from 1945. But before that, I know you like going to the dentist, and I like going to the dentist.
I just talked with my dentist today. I'm excited. I have a dentist appointment coming up the next couple of weeks.
I always go to the dentist at 2:30. Tooth hurty.
I don't get it.
You don't get it? I'm sure you get it.
Nope.
So I thought we'd play this little creepy skit called A Day at the Dentist.
You're still there? Good. Well, permit me to try you with the humorous type of horror. Horror can't have humor? Listen to A Day at the Dentist.
Any more patients, nurse?
Yes, one just came in. He hasn't an appointment, but he says it's an emergency.
Oh, do I know him? What's his name?
His name is Fred Houseman.
Houseman? Fred? Are you sure?
Yes, do you know him?
No, oh no. Show him in. And Miss Case, you can go home now.
But doctor, it isn't time.
I said you could go home now.
Yes, doctor. The doctor will see you now.
Oh, thank you.
Come in, sir, come in. I'll see you in the morning, nurse. And when you go out, lock the outer door. Mr. Houseman will be my last patient.
Yes, doctor.
I said, come in, sir, come in.
Thank you, doctor, for seeing me without an appointment.
It's my pleasure. Oh, will you get in the chair?
Oh, thank you. You know, I used to come here to Dr. Charles. I didn't know you'd taken over.
Mm-hmm. Are you all comfortable?
Yes, indeed.
Now, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, I have a toothache.
Oh, yes, we can fix that in a hurry. Nothing serious?
Say, are you sure it's painless, doctor? It's funny me saying that, but here I used to play football and wrestle, but there's one thing I sure can't stand is a little pain. You know, drilling and things like that.
Oh, no. No pain.
Well, the straps. Why are you strapping me in?
Don't be alarmed. In order to keep this painless, there must be absolutely no movement.
Oh.
There you are. Snug as a bug in a rug. That's a curious thing to call you, isn't it? You're no bug. You're the lover type, aren't you?
Why?
When I first heard your name, I wasn't sure, but when you came through the door, I...
What the hell is this?
Mary Elson.
Mary? What do you mean?
Surely you haven't forgotten Mary, lover boy. What you did to her was very special, wasn't it? Worth remembering. Worth talking about. Worth slobbering over.
Who the hell are you?
Her husband.
What? Let me out of here.
No, you won't break those straps. They've been waiting just for you. That's why I bought out Dr. Charles' practice. Because I knew that sooner or later you'd come back to him. The painless dentist. Now you're here. Now you're here.
The drill. What are you going to do?
Nothing important. Just going to drill a little hole to let out some of Lover Boy.
Oh, no. No, what are you going to do? What? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Please. Please. No. 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 No.
Yes, Lover Boy.
Just think about that next time you go to the dentist for a nice little cleaning, Lisa.
I'm squirming in my chair. really uncomfortable.
Lover. We're just going to let out a little lover boy.
Oh, he's good.
That's Hal Perry. Yeah, he played the great Gildersleeve on radio. And Arch Obler, who put this album together called Drop Dead, a Capitol record in the late 1960s, he used all of his pals, all his radio pros from the golden age of radio, like B. Benaderet and also Hal Perry, and I think Everett Sloan is on here, and just a bunch of radio pros. And you're going to hear another couple of little scary tidbits later tonight when we come back here at 11 p.m. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's the sealed book. Stick around. You're at a spot there for the Classic Radio Club. Folks, join our club. If you love classic radio, how would you like to have 10 shows sent to you every single month on CD in a collector case? 10 shows, 5 hours, 5 CDs, and I personally select the best of the best from my library of over 100,000 shows. And Ashley, your mom joined. Did you know that?
I did.
Ashley's mom joined the club, and she gets her CDs every single month. Has she said anything about it to you?
Yeah, all the time. All the time.
Does she say, hey, sit down in front of the fireplace with me and listen to these classic radio shows, or she hasn't done that yet?
Not yet, but in the car she puts them on. I'm like, all right, here we go.
Oh, very cool. Well, tell her, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate that. It's so
nice. Well, she's listening in, so she's definitely listening right now.
Thank you. I really appreciate you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. People are joining by the hundreds, and we'd love you to join if you're not a club member as yet. You'll get 10 shows, 5 CDs sent to your home every single month, and it's a surprise box. You get 10 shows, and I pick them out. I also write all the liner notes, so check it out. Go to ClassicRadioClub.com. The first month, it's only $4.99 for your 5 CDs with 10 shows, and you can cancel at any time, and you'll never get a duplicate show. So go to ClassicRadioClub.com. All right, time now for the sealed book. This was a mystery and terror show. It aired for one season in 1945. It was produced and directed by Jock McGregor. It was heard on the Mutual Network. Philip Clark was the mysterious silent keeper of the book, in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. The scripts were by Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan, the same team that brought us The Mysterious Traveler and The Strange Dr. Weird. And this show does star Philip Clark. It's called Till Death Do Us Part. It's from July 8th, 1945. Here's part one now of The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book. Once again, the keeper of the book has opened the ponderous door to the secret vault, wherein is kept the great sealed book, in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. Here are tales of every kind, tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds, strange and terrible beyond all belief. Keeper of the book, I would know what tale we tell this time. Open the great book and let us read. Slowly, the great book open. One by one, the keeper of the book turns the pages and stops. Ah, the strange story of a man who hated his wife because she loved him too much, with a love that even death could not extinguish. A tale called Till Death Do Us Part. Here is the tale, Till Death Do Us Part, as it is written in the sealed book. The story begins in the pleasant suburban home of Chris and Blanche Worthy. It is late at night, and and the moonlight shining through the window shows Chris Worthy tossing and turning in his sleep, suffering from a nightmare about his wife.
Chris, darling, you really must put on this jacket. It's getting chilly.
Oh, really, Blanche, I don't need it. Oh, all right, very well.
Your wife is on the phone, Mr. Worthy.
Blanche, this is the fifth time you've called me this morning.
Chris, your wife is waiting in your office for you.
Darling, it looks like rain. I brought your raincoat.
Blanche, you know there isn't a cloud in the sky. You've got to stop this coming to the office all the time.
Your wife is on the phone, Mr. Worthy.
Blanche is waiting in your office for you, Chris.
Darling, I've come to drive you home. Mrs. Worthy is on the phone, sir. Chris, is there
waiting
something I can...
Your wife
waiting on the phone.
Darling. No. No, no, why won't you leave me alone for a while? Leave me alone!
Chris, darling, wake up. You're having another nightmare.
What? Oh, Blanche.
Oh, you were having a nightmare, dear. I awakened you.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember now. It was all so real.
Can I get you something, darling?
No, it isn't necessary.
Perhaps a glass of warm milk might help.
Please, Blanche, I don't want anything.
Well, now, don't you think you'd better see a doctor, dear? You've been having these nightmares for several weeks now.
A doctor can't help me. Blanche, we can't go on this way.
Can't go on what way? What do you mean?
I've never been able to tell you, but I will now. I can't stand living with you.
Can't stand living with me. But, Chris, I love you.
Yes, I know you love me, but it's an inhuman love. Your love is so overwhelming, it's smothering me at every step. I was never divorced.
No, Chris. I'll never give you a divorce. For 2 years I fought to get you. Did everything to prevent your marriage to Ann Ballin. I have you now. And I'm going to keep you.
Even knowing how I feel about you?
Yes. My love for you, Chris, is greater than my pride. Oh, please, darling, let's not say any more. You'll feel better in the morning.
I'll never feel better. Not while we're together. Blanche, when I get dressed, I'm going to move to a hotel. I'm leaving you.
Darling, you're being ridiculous. Please go back to bed.
No, I can't live with you and I won't. I'm leaving you for good.
Oh, Chris, you're funny. Oh, darling.
Your wife is outside, Chris, waiting to see you.
Oh, no, not again.
I'm afraid so, Chris.
I can't go on this way. Day after day, she phones every hour, comes down here to see me.
Well, now, perhaps you had better see her, Chris. Maybe you can reach an amicable agreement.
No, not with Blanche. Arden, there's only one way out for me. I must leave town, disappear.
Leave town? What's your business?
That doesn't matter now. Nothing matters but to be free. I'm leaving the running of the business in your hands.
Yes, but where are you going?
I haven't decided yet. All I know is it's going to be someplace far away. Someplace where even Blanche can't find me.
Come in, Chris.
Hello, Tuppy. Glad you remember me.
I sure do. You were the best tackle Yale ever had outside of myself. Well, what are you doing in Texas?
Looking for a job.
Looking for a job? Are you kidding? What about that flourishing business you've got back in New York?
I've left it and everything else behind. My name is Richard Keller now.
Chris, you haven't gotten into a jam. I mean, the law isn't after you, is it?
No, Tuppy, the law isn't after me. It's a personal matter.
Oh. Well, sit down. Tell me about it.
Tuppy, I'd rather not talk about it. No, not just now.
Sure, Chris, I understand.
Well, can you give me a job as Richard Keller?
Can I give you a job? Why, this company's dying on its feet for men like you. You're hired.
Well, this is room 313. Will you send up a waiter, please? Oh, and the morning paper. Thank you. Well, fast service. Come in.
Hello, darling.
Blanche.
Yes, darling. How are you?
I changed my name. I traveled all over the West before coming here. Never told anyone where I was.
How did you find me?
Oh, I love you, Chris. No matter where you went or how far it was, I'd find you.
What do you want?
Oh, I want you to come home.
No, never. Not coming back, and that's final.
But, Chris, I'm your wife, and I love you. Oh, just give me another chance, darling. I'll do whatever you want me to if you'll only come home.
No, it'll just be the same thing all over again.
No, it won't, dear. I'll change. Really, I will. You remember you objecting to my calling you every hour at the office? Well, I promise I won't anymore.
You mean that?
Yes, Chris, I do. Won't you please come home?
All right, all right. We'll have another try at it. But this is the last time.
Oh, Chris, you'll never regret it.
Gentlemen, this is to inform you that your order of the 25th was shipped. No, I'll answer it, Miss Nelson. Hello?
Hello, darling. How are you?
Blanche! Just a minute. Hurry on, Miss Nelson. We'll finish the letter later.
Yes, Mr. Worthy.
Blanche, this is the fourth time you've called this morning. The one thing you promised you wouldn't do.
But I only wanted to know if you wanted me to drive in and pick you up. Oh, I'm sorry, dear, if I've upset you.
You say that every time you call. I see now that I'll never be rid of the sound of your voice till death parts us.
Please, darling, say you aren't angry with me. You know I love you. Chris.
Till death do us part. She would have died. I'd be free. Free. I could answer the phone. I know it wasn't she. Hello?
But, darling, what happened?
We were disconnected, dear.
Oh, Chris, I thought something might have happened to you.
No, I'm all right, dear. I'm sorry I spoke so harshly to you before.
Oh, you know I don't mind, Chris. It's your nerves. You work too hard.
Yes. You know, I think I need a vacation. What do you say if you and I go away for a few days?
Oh.
Go to the seashore? Try some deep-sea fishing?
Oh, Chris, darling, it'll be wonderful.
Oh, no, it won't.
I don't think it's going to work out as planned.
Oh, no, it won't be wonderful. You know, when a guy gets giddy like that, like, hey, honey, let's, you know, where he's never taken you to the seashore before, it's never taken you deep sea fishing.
So,
and all of a sudden he's like, hey, hon, let's go deep sea fishing. Let's go to the seashore.
Right.
You should be a little worried
about
that.
I'm going to keep that in mind.
You should be a little
suspicious. So when that happens,
if Dan ever says that to you, be suspicious of that.
All right. Be suspicious.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and then it's more of the sealed book. You're trouble, all right.
Oh, I know. I'm not arguing with you.
That's a great song. Clarence, Clearwater Revival. Gotta love them. You know what, Lisa? I know my music.
Yes, you know things.
I know some things.
You know some things.
I know things.
And you don't know other things.
There's a lot of things I don't know.
I know.
But I do know CCR because I love CCR.
Oh, you're on a kind of an abbreviated basis, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on a first initial basis with them.
You should be. You should have him on the show.
With Mr. Fogarty.
Why don't you give him a call and see if he'll hang out with us one night?
Oh, he would.
I'm sure.
You know, Eric Burton and, you know, the animals, Eric Burton, he emails me every once in a while. I started the email thing with him because I told him what a big fan I am of him, and I said, hey, I'd love to have you anytime you're in town. Love to have you on the show.
Did he answer?
Big fan. Yeah, and he started emailing me, and every once in a while he emails me.
All right, well, when he's on the show, then I'll believe you.
I do know one. I do know one singing star.
Well, you know me.
Yes, this is true.
So you're there too.
Trying to think if I, you know who I would like to.
Howard Stern?
Yeah, Howard Stern's great.
Yeah.
I like Howard Stern a lot.
He's a number one on my list. So if anybody knows Howard Stern, please connect me.
I'd rather be email pals with like a Taylor Swift.
Emma Stone.
Or let me try to think who else. Or
you
maybe
like Emma Stone.
Who sings that one song?
Oh, you're talking about singers.
We talked about her last week. Sings a song about she scratched the car and busted his car.
Oh, Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, Carrie Underwood.
She scratched his car.
Sliced his tires.
I dug my keys into the side of his pretty little souped up four-wheel drive.
Yeah, that girl.
Yeah, I like her.
I like her.
She was at Ravinia not this summer, but the last two summers.
She's not that hard on the eyes.
No, she had an accident.
Yeah, she fell
and she had stitches all over her face.
Maybe she needs a male nurse.
I think she's married.
Yeah, well,
so she probably
not
doesn't.
Then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're listening to The Sealed Book. This is called "Till Death Do Us Part." This guy tries to drown his wife, and she returns from the dead. I mean, come on,
right? What is she
I
thinking?
Mean, what?
Give
the guy a break already.
Right. Well, there's the guy perspective.
Let's go back now and listen to The Sealed Book.
Now to continue the story, "Till Death Do Us Part," as it is written in The Sealed Book. Having made his plans with care, Chris Wirby has taken his wife Blanche to the seashore for a holiday. In a rented motorboat with fishing tackle spread about them, they are now far out from shore. Just Chris and Blanche.
I think we're far enough out now. I'll shut off the motor. Ah, looks like a good spot.
Oh, Chris, it's wonderful out here on the water. And I have you all to myself here.
That's what you've always wanted, isn't it, Blanche? To have me all to yourself.
Yes, darling. Oh, Chris, look. There's smoke coming out of the engine hatch. The boat is on fire.
Yes, you're right.
Flames are shooting out of the hatch. The whole boat is catching fire.
I should have to swim for it.
Oh,
the gasoline tank is liable to explode any second.
But, Chris, you know I can't swim, and we're a mile from shore.
I'll keep you afloat until another fishing boat comes to our rescue. I'll jump first, then you follow.
But, Chris...
It's our only chance.
Chris, I'm frightened. Someone on shore must have heard the explosion and seen the smoke. Why don't the boats come?
No boats are going to come for you, darling.
Chris, what are you saying?
When the boats do arrive, they're only going to find me.
Chris, you wouldn't let me drown.
Oh, wouldn't I? I tried to reason with you. And when that didn't work, I ran away.
Oh.
But you wouldn't let me alone. Well, this is the only way I'll ever be free of you.
You can't do it, Chris. You can't. I love you.
It's the only way I can get rid of you, so we're parting now, forever.
Oh.
This time you won't follow me.
I won't let you go, I won't.
But you will.
No.
Don't break that grip. You've been a millstone around my neck long enough. There.
Chris, don't let me drown. Stay with me.
This is the end, do you hear? I'm free.
I'll never leave you.
She's gone. I'm free. Free at last. Forever.
Excuse me, Chris, but there's a Miss Ballon to see you.
A Miss Ballon? Anne Ballon?
Yes.
Oh, show her in.
All right.
Anne!
Chris!
Anne, it's wonderful seeing you again. Oh, it's been 5 years.
Six? You left Owensville in 1938.
6 years. Good deals happened in that time.
Yes. Oh, I've just learned that you lost Blanche a year ago, Chris. I want you to know how sorry I am.
Oh, thank you, Anne. But tell me, how's everyone in Owensville?
Well, you might have paid us a visit. Owensville is still only 100 miles away.
Well, I've always meant to return for a visit, but after the way I broke our engagement and married Blanche, I was afraid you'd feel...
Oh, Chris, you mustn't feel that way. I got over that long ago.
Well, how long are you in town for?
I'll have you know I am now a resident of this fair metropolis, as of yesterday. I have a job here.
Well, and it's wonderful. You may not know it, but you're going to see a good deal of me. In fact, don't be surprised if I propose to you again. Mighty soon.
Oh, Chris, it's the most beautiful house a new bride ever had.
Well, if you'll carry me across the threshold, Mrs. Worthy, you can see what it looks like inside.
I should be delighted to.
Hey!
Oh.
Chris, it's a lovely present. But you shouldn't spend all that money.
What are you talking about? We've been married 1 week today.
Oh, Chris, I'm so glad we found each other again at last. We're going to be so happy together. Chris? Why, Chris Worthy.
Why, Sidney Rand.
I thought I recognized you. How are you, Chris? Why, I haven't seen you since you left Owensville.
Good to see you, Sidney. How are the folks back home?
Fine, just fine. I suppose you heard about Ann Ballin.
What can you tell me about Ann Ballin that I don't already know?
Well, I guess this will come as a shock to you, Chris, seeing you were engaged to her once. Ann died last month.
What did you say?
Ann Ballin died a month ago.
Why, that's impossible, Sidney. You're wrong.
Chris, I wouldn't joke about a thing like that. I was at the funeral myself with Sam Morris.
But that couldn't be.
It all happened so sudden. They never did find out what it was she died from. It certainly was a shock. Ann was so young and beautiful. Now she's dead.
It couldn't be. It couldn't be.
Chris, what's the matter with you? Chris, why are you so...
Dead a month. But Anne came to New York just a month ago. And she married me. She's alive, beautiful, everything I've ever wanted. Oh, Sidney's wrong. They buried someone else, another Anne Ballin. Yes, that must be it. Anne's home, waiting for me, waiting for me. Anne! Anne, where are you? Anne! Anne, answer me, Anne!
I was at the funeral myself with Sam Morris.
Sam Morris? Yes.
Operator, I want to put in a long-distance call to Owensville, Pennsylvania. I'd like to speak to Sam Morris. I don't know his number, but... Hello, Sam. Sam Morris?
Yes, speaking. Who's this?
Chris Worthy. You remember me, Sam. I used to live right next door.
Of course I remember you, Chris. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. Sam, I want to ask you something.
Sure, what is it?
How's Ann Ballin?
Ann Ballin?
Yes.
Well, didn't you hear, Chris? She's been dead for over a month.
Are you sure?
Sure, I was at her funeral.
But, Sam, couldn't they have buried someone else by mistake?
Well, hardly, Chris. I saw her in the coffin just before they laid her away in the family plot. Chris! Chris! Are you there?
Couldn't be, Anne. They laid away. It couldn't be. There's someone else lying in the Ballin plot. Must be someone else. Must be. I'll drive out there now. I'll find out who it is.
After driving frantically for hours, Chris has reached Owensville, his hometown. And on the outskirts of town, at the entrance to the ancient cemetery, he is arguing with the old caretaker, who has come to the door in nightshirt and trousers.
But I tell you, I have to know tonight. Can't you understand? I only want to know if a girl by the name of Ann Ballin is buried here.
Look, mister, it's almost midnight. I can't go looking through any records now. You'll have to come back in the morning.
Please. I'll give you $20 if you look it up for me now.
$20? All right, come in.
Thank you.
What'd you say that name was?
Ann Ballin.
Let's see. B. Yeah, here we are. B. Ann Ballin. Yeah. She's here. Buried in the Ballin family plot. Interred June 26, section 15, plot 5.
Can't be. Can't be.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I must see that grave opened.
You don't have to get a court order for that, mister.
I want to see it now, tonight. I'll give you $500 to open that grave.
You must be crazy, mister. It's against the law.
Listen, I don't want the body. I merely want to look at it. Would $1,000 make it worth the risk?
$1,000?
Yes, $1,000. You'll never make an easier $1,000. We'll be finished by dawn. Well.
$1,000, huh? All right, I'll do it.
$1,000.
can't have but a little more to dig.
Gilmore, Shovel's full. You should reach the coffin.
Blast that moon. Anybody comes past this graveyard, they can see us.
You don't have to worry about anyone being around at 3 a.m. Keep digging.
We shouldn't be disturbing the dead. Rest in peace. That's what the minister always says.
I've reached it. The coffin. Quick, quick, help me clear all the... Clear all this earth off it so I can open the lid.
All right. Anything to get this over with.
Hurry. Hurry up. There. Well, that's enough. Right, now hold up the lantern. I'll open it.
All right. Yeah. Now go ahead.
There. It's unlocked.
Bill, what are you waiting for? Go ahead and open it.
All right. Stand back a bit.
It's empty.
Yes, empty. Empty. I knew she couldn't be buried here. She's alive, do you hear? Anne's alive. Anne! Anne, where are you?
Here I am, Chris.
Oh, Anne, it's good to feel you in my arms.
Oh, why, Chris, you act as though you never expected to see me again.
Well, there was a moment when I thought I wouldn't. Remember Sidney Rand, don't you?
Sidney Rand? Well, yes, of course.
Last evening, as I was coming out of my office building, I bumped into her. And she started telling me all the news of Owensville. And then she told me that you'd been dead a month.
Well, I'd been dead a month.
Yes. And when I got home, you weren't here.
Well, darling, it was only my running out of gas that kept me from being home when you arrived.
Well, I should have known it was something like that. But I got panicky. Called Sam Morris long distance, and he too said you were dead. Must have gone haywire after that. For I took the first train to Owensville.
Chris, you didn't.
Yes, I'm afraid I did. Went to the cemetery where your family's buried. And there I found your grave. Yours.
Mine?
Yes. The tombstone had your name on it. Anne Bellin.
What did you do then?
I paid the caretaker to help me dig up the coffin. And when we opened it, we found it empty. What is it? Why are you laughing like that? Anne.
Chris. Anne Bellin is dead.
Anne, you know what you're saying. You're Anne Bellin.
No, Chris, I'm not. Look deeply into my eyes, darling. Don't you recognize me?
Recognize you?
Yes. Don't you know who I am, darling? You remember that day at sea? I told you I'd never leave you, remember?
No, it can't be. You're Anne.
Close your eyes, Chris. Just listen to my voice. Don't you recognize me, darling?
Blanche.
Yes, Blanche. Blanche and Anne's body. Because mine was lost at sea.
No, it can't be. It can't be.
But it is, Chris. I couldn't come back in my own body, so I killed Anne to get this one.
You killed Anne?
Yes, Chris. And then took her body. I did it so that you and I could be together again.
No.
Forever, darling.
Together. Forever?
Yes, forever.
No.
Oh, no, I'll never leave you, darling. Never, never, never.
And that is the tale of Chris and Blanche Werby, Till Death Do Us Part, as it is written in the sealed book. When Chris was sure that Blanche had indeed returned to him, even from the grave, tried to escape by seeking death himself, throwing himself into the sea from an ocean liner. Weeks later, his body was cast up on the shore, tightly clasped in the dead arms of the body of a woman, later identified as Blanche. So they are buried now, side by side, together forever. And now, keeper of the book, before you close the great volume, show us the tale we tell next time. This one. Yes. The amazing story of a man who stole millions and then found he had to steal himself a new face so he could protect those millions. but who discovered that his new face brought with it murder and sudden death. A tale titled The Man with the Stolen Face. Be sure to be with us again next time when the sound of the great gong heralds another strange and exciting tale from The Sealed Book. The Sealed Book, written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, is produced and directed by Jock McGregor.
Oh, boy, that was good, huh?
We had some great, great shows all night tonight.
The Sealed Book. Those were half-hour radio shows, and then they had a 15-minute show. It was called The Sealed Booklet, shortened version of it.
Should be the longer version.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. That's a sealed book. Till Death Do Us Part, July 8th, 1945. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Do you love classic radio shows? Now you can receive 10 classic radio shows on 5 CDs every month by joining the Classic Radio Club. Hi, I'm Carl Amari. I've started the Classic Radio Club so fans can receive the best of the best from my library each and every month. Join now and receive your first 10 classic radio shows on 5 CDs, a $39.95 value for only $4.99. Then every month, I'll hand select 10 more of the greatest classic radio shows and mail them to you on 5 CDs. Every show will be superior sound quality and you'll never receive a duplicate show. Log on to ClassicRadioClub.com to join and receive your first 10 classic radio shows on 5 CDs for only $4.99. That's ClassicRadioClub.com or call toll-free 888-642-6556. That's 888-642-6556.